Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Believer City Church's Wednesday Night Rewind. Tonight, we're going to take another look at a few verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we talked about on Sunday. Now, all of Scripture is worthy of our full attention. It's not as if there's certain parts that can be ignored or certain sections that can sort of take a secondary position in our life and in our minds. But I do think that there is some added significance to the fact that 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote. These were his last words, so to speak. This is what he wanted to leave us with. This is what he said we need to know. And I think I mentioned this on Sunday, but I have always been drawn to this passage because I think it so clearly portrays what is needed in order to live the Christian life, in order to fulfill God's mission. So with that, I'll read our passage and then we'll pray before we take just a few minutes to look at these pictures that Paul uses to depict the Christian life. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Father, thank you for tonight. Please speak to us. Please be our teacher. I pray for all of those who are in the sound of my voice that you would help us to make these verses that I just read a reality in our lives, so that we can better know you, so that we can better serve you, so that we can better fulfill the mission that you have called us to. Amen. So to begin with, in verse 1, Paul tells Timothy that he's going to have to be strong. And in verse 3, Paul writes that Timothy is going to have to endure hardships. So right off the bat, we get the idea that Christianity is not always the easy road. In fact, if you're going to follow Christ the way that he desires you to, the way that he really commands you to, I would say that you're opening yourself to difficulties, to hardships, to trials that you could avoid otherwise. And that is why there are so many people that really pass on the opportunity to fully engage in his mission, to really follow him, to really know him. The call comes to them, but the cost is simply too high. They're unwilling to pay that cost. But the thing is, in doing so, they're the ones that miss out. If you remember on Sunday, I said that the strength that is needed to do this, the strength that is needed in order to be the people that God has commanded us to be, in order to complete the mission that he has given us, cannot be found in ourselves. It's not in us. In order to be a part of this mission, in order to fulfill your role in this mission, it requires a strength that can only be found through Christ. It requires a strength that you cannot have if you don't know him. The strength that you're going to need to endure these trials, to endure these hardships, to keep going despite the difficulties that you're going to face, can only be found in Jesus. Now, you can try and let these trials pass you by. You can try and avoid them. You can live your life trying to minimize them, live your life trying to stay comfortable at all costs, and just let them pass you by. But in doing so, you're going to miss out on the very presence of Christ, because we need his strength in order to be and do what Paul points out. Immediately after this, Paul goes on to say, "Timothy, everything that I've taught you, everything that you know, everything that you now understand to be truth, the truth that has now been delivered to you, you need to go now and deliver it to someone else. It needs to now go out from you. You need to find some faithful people, and you need to commit to them. You need to invest your life into them, and you need to give them the truth so that the truth doesn't end with you. And it doesn't even end with those that you're teaching, but it goes from generation to generation, on and on. And now Paul and Timothy, they were successful. They did this well, and because of that, you and I are here. Now, this is an aspect of our faith that I think is missing for many people. I think there's a lot of people that just won't ever actually do this. We learn about God, they're trained by Him, they might even serve Him in various capacities. They help out around church, they volunteer their hours, but they never engage in the difficult task of telling people the truth, of training others. They never actually commit the truth that they believe to another person's life. Now, if that's true of you, if you find yourself going to church week after week, you find yourself reading the Bible, you find yourself listening to these kind of rewinds, but you never actually apply it to the point where you're telling others about it, you never tell others the truth that you know, you never commit your life to the training and discipleship of another. I think you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to be disappointed. You're going to miss out. You'll realize that you have nothing really eternal to show for the years that you spent on this earth. So you'll have finished the race. You'll have ran your race. You'll have crossed the finish line, but you never successfully handed the baton on to someone else. So the next generation is sitting there waiting and waiting for you to hand the baton, and you never hand it to them. So if they're going to receive it, it's going to come from someone else. That would be to waste your life. Now, I don't think any of us intends to waste our life. Like, no one is desiring, you know what? I want to live my whole life, put in all my time, live all these years, and have nothing to show for it. And that's why Paul tells us what he does in the next few verses. That's why from here on, Paul says that if you want to live a life that matters, if you don't want to waste your life, if you want to successfully hand the truth of Christ on to someone else, there are these few things that are going to have to be a part of your life. There are these characteristics that are going to need to be included in your life if you want to successfully be a part of the mission of Christ. And the first one that he points to is that of a soldier. He says, first, you need to live as a soldier. Now, there are all kinds of ways where I think the metaphor of a soldier is compatible with the life of a Christian. There's the training, there's the purpose, there's the commitment, there's the dangerous aspect of it, the fact that we're engaged in a real battle. But the point that Paul emphasizes here is that we should serve in a way that pleases our commander, and we should also serve in a way, we should live in a way that we are not entangled by the cares of this world, that we're not distracted by everything that is going on around us. Now, take note of the word entangled. To me, that word points out that it's not as if this is an intentional thing. Like, no one ever sets out and is like, you know what, I want to become so busy, so distracted, so entangled by everything that's going on around me that I could not possibly serve the Lord. I have too much going on. I'm too entangled. But that word to me implies a going through life kind of slowly marching on, and over time there's these things that crowd in, these things that sort of latch on to you, these things that latch on to us without us even realizing it. Now, there's some obvious things. Maybe one of the most obvious is a job, a career. And it might be one that starts out as a good thing, one that provides for you and actually enables you to serve the Lord. But then over time, it starts to amp up. Over time, that job starts to ask more and more of you. It asks for more of your time, more of your commitment. And all of a sudden, your time and your life is greatly constrained because of your job, because of your pursuit of a job, because of your career. You know, if you find that all of a sudden your job is what starts to dictate the decisions that you make in your life, it's your job that decides where you're going to go, when you're going to go there, you're going to have to ask yourself, has this become something that I am entangled in, something that is making me compromise on living for Christ? You need to ask yourself, when work demands one thing of you, when work comes into conflict with what God has asked of you, with the clear direction of Christ, when work asks one thing and God and the church asks another, who wins? What ultimately takes priority in your life? And to answer that question, I don't think you should just look at your actions. I don't think you should just look at where you end up. You know, the easy thing is work wants you to work on a Sunday. You know that you're supposed to go to church, and well, you put church first, so you're there. Don't be too quick to say that work hasn't become a snare, because where's your heart in that? Where's your attitude in that? Do you find yourself begrudgingly attending some church event, begrudgingly doing what it is that you know Jesus told you to do, while all the while your passion and your desire is at work? All the while your attention is still at work? So you can't just look at your activities. You can't just look at what you're doing. You need to look at your motivation. You need to look at your heart. You need to see where is your passion. Another common one, another one that we see all too often, is relationships. Relationships in all forms, whether that be the pursuit of a spouse, the pursuit of a dating relationship, whether that be your husband, your wife, your family, your mom and your dad, or maybe your kids, your extended family, grandma, grandpa, or just your friends. All of those people, even loving people, can easily become something that we're entangled by. Now, how can you tell when that becomes a problem? I think one thing is to ask yourself, one way to identify this is to ask yourself, who are you living to please? Whose pleasure is it that you're pursuing? Who is it that you're pursuing? Who is it that you spend more time with? Is it God or is it your mom and dad? Is it God or is it your husband and wife? Is it God or is it your children? Is it God or is it your friends? When God says to follow me is going to necessitate that you leave some behind, he means it. You're not going to be able to just live with the same relationships that all of the worldly people have and also add a relationship to God with that. Relationships are going to have to change. If they don't change, you'll find that they are weights that prevent you from seeking God to the fullest, from fully engaging in the battle that he would have you engage in. Now, those are just two kind of easy ones to spot, the job and relationships, but we can become entangled by just about anything. You know, you might be entangled by your house. You've got so much to do to take care of it, you know, so many things to do that all of your waking hours is spent just maintaining your property. It could be your hobbies, could be your education. Just about anything, good things that you enjoy, good things that our world would applaud you for, can easily become something that's holding you back from God's call. Now, I brought up this idea on Sunday, but you need to think about how is it that you're living? Are you living in a way to minimize those things? Are you living in such a way that although there are worldly things in your life, they're not preventing you from God's mission? In fact, you're living in such a way that you can easily step aside from those things at any moment for the sake of Christ? Or are those things so a part of who you are, so ingrained in your daily life, so tied to you in responsibility that they're keeping you back? Maybe you'd really like to serve the Lord. You'd like to go into fulfill his call, but you have so much debt that you can never feasibly do that. What is it for you that is holding you back? What is it that's entangling you? And like I said, I think it's easy for these things to just kind of slowly grab on, and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. Now, the next picture that Paul uses is that of a world-class athlete. And two points to look at here. The first one is that Paul says that an athlete must compete according to the rules. An athlete has to compete according to the prescribed rules. Any game that you've ever played, there's rules. If there's no rules, it's not much of a game. It would just be chaos. But athletes compete according to the rules. So Christians must live according to God's directives. This seems obvious. Seems obvious. It seems like a no-brainer. Yet I would say that a lot of us live trying to avoid this fact. We try to make up our own rules. We try to make up our own plans. We just give ourselves our own directives. Rather than get on board with God's plan, we make our own. And the dangerous thing, the kind of sneaky thing about this, is oftentimes we trick ourselves by incorporating small amounts of God's directives, small amounts of what seems to be holy and righteous things into our own plan. And we do that so that we can justify ourselves. We do that so that we can more easily excuse ourselves and feel okay with going about our own plan. You know, God says, if you're going to live as a Christian, if you're going to follow me, this is what I expect. This is who you must be, and this is what you must do. And then we find ourselves trying to lower the bar. We find ourselves trying to explain why that's not really the case for us. One of the easiest ways to see this, I think, is in a dating couple. This might look like a dating couple that says, you know, I know God's expectations. I know what it is that God wants of me. I know that we are to live with purity. But, you know, it's a little different for us because, and then the excuses start to come. The excuses start to come for why it is okay in certain situations to be justified in circumventing God's prescribed route. But that's not the case. Athletes do not win if they don't follow the rules, and you are not following God's will, following God's plan, if you don't actually do as he says. Now, Christianity needs to be done God's way. If you want to live the Christian life, it has to be out of the directives of Christ. And if you try and make it up on your own, rather than following Jesus, it's just not Christianity. That's not real Christianity. You are living something of your own imagination, of your own creation. So Christians, like athletes, need to follow the rules. They need to follow God's prescribed directives. Now, another way that Christians are like athletes, I think, is seen in their discipline, their determination, their devotion. And for athletes, that comes from a passion for the sport. It comes because they love the game. Now, Christians should have a life that, if you ask me, is marked by the same discipline and devotion. Actually, it should be greater. But it shouldn't be out of some duty-bound legalistic attitude. It should be because of a passion for Christ. Athletes do this for a passion of the game. Christians should have the discipline and devotion because they love Jesus. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. And it says that the reason that we obey, the reason that we have this discipline, the reason that we would have devotion is because we love him. Now, what's crazy is that there's people out there that they'll roll out of bed early in the morning and they'll jump to work. They'll go, they'll lift their weights, they'll run their laps, they'll do whatever is needed to prepare for a game, for a competition. And yet, I think as Christians, we sometimes find that getting up to read our Bible, getting up to pray and spend time with God, going to church, being engaged with other Christians in a community is kind of too big of an ask. It's like, oh, that's really expecting a lot for me. Now, I wonder, what kind of training is it that you've subjected yourself to? What kind of training do you participate in order to be at the top of your game, so to speak? Because for athletes, the fact that they are an athlete, the fact that they are competing impacts all of their life. All of their life, what they eat, what they do, where they go, who they spend time with. The same should be true for the Christian. This is going to take real discipline, real devotion, real determination. For the disciple of Christ, there's no getting away from the word discipline. They go hand in hand. You cannot be a disciple apart from discipline. It's going to be hard work. And that's why Paul tells us that we also need to be like the hardworking farmer. This last picture that he uses, Paul says we're to be like soldiers, we're to be like athletes, and lastly, like farmers. At first, that one seems kind of unrelated. You know, farmers, they work hard, and they do it largely behind the scenes. Largely behind the scenes. They do it with very little glory. They do it with no applause. They're willing to get dirty. They work long hours. And all the while, they know that there's always going to be more work to do. There is always going to be more work to be done. And if you're a Christian, I can tell you that the work never ends. The work will not end in this life. It's not going to end until you're dead. If you have found that that's not the case, I'd say that it's not because there's no more work to do. It's not as if all the work for Christ has been completed. It's because you're choosing, because you've decided that you're not going to do it. That you're going to be content to let someone else do this work. Now, a lot of times we get frustrated. We get upset at the meager amount of fruit that comes out of our lives. You know, we would like to see great, big, and impressive harvests. For the Christian, we want our character to be changed. We want it to be changed dramatically, and we want it to be changed now. We want to be sanctified. We want to be like Christ. We want God to use us. We want Him to multiply our ministry. He wants light. We want lives to be touched because of the work that we do. But a lot of times we want that done without effort. We want that done here, now, without putting forth the years of work that is required. You know, God explains that the way that our character is changed, the way that sanctification happens, takes a long time, and it takes a lot of pain. It takes a lot of work. If you think that you're just going to snap your fingers and become who it is that God wants you to be, it doesn't happen that way. If you think that you're going to go out there and start telling people about Christ and, you know, one afternoon you're going to change the world, I think you're going to find yourself disappointed. It's going to take more work than that. It's going to take more time than that. The farmer, they have to plant their seed, they have to till their soil, they have to water. They have to wait. They have to be patient and wait for God to bring the harvest. You know, we'd like to just sit back and kind of watch God do the work, just enjoy the show. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. If you want to reap a large harvest, if you want to see great things, it's going to take work. And you know, the thing is, much of what God asks of us is going to get you little to no thanks from the mouths of man. In fact, I think it's probably going to bring you more criticism and more critique than thanks and praise. And a lot of people just aren't okay with that. Sure, they want to serve the Lord, but only insofar as it advances them here and now. They want the pat on the back. They want the applause. They want to be recognized. They want to be propped up. But God never promises to do that. In fact, He never promises any kind of glory now. He never says that we can expect that. In fact, instead, He promises suffering, He promises difficulty, He says that it's going to be hard, and that glory is to come. If we will endure hardship like a soldier, if we'll have the discipline and determination of a world-class athlete, if we'll work hard like the farmer, and if we'll be patient, waiting on God for the harvest, then our glory can be enjoyed in the life to come, but not now. Now, in a few minutes, many of you will be going to discuss this in your small groups, and I want to ask this same question that I asked on Sunday in close. Ask yourself, is your life marked by single, focused determination of a soldier? Do you have a passion and determination of a world-class athlete? Is your discipline that of the discipline that we see in our NFL stars? Are you hardworking? Are you patient? Are you willing to put in the work that is needed to see the harvest like the farmer? Now, Jesus, He never promised that the Christian life would be one of ease. He never said that if you come to Him, that you'll never have to work. But He did say that the life that He came to give is life abundant, and that the hardship, the training, the discipline, all of the work, that it's all going to be worth it. Now, if you'll listen to Him, if you'll obey Him, if you'll live for Him as His soldier, as His athlete, as His farmer, that's what we'll experience. That's what we can expect. And like I said on Sunday, I think it's an incredible thing that God would take us as His soldiers, as His athletes and His farmers when we have very little to offer. And yet He says, yeah, come and be a part of what I have going on. That's incredible. That's a great privilege. Thank you, God, that You would let us play a part. Now I'm going to pray for us, as many of you in the Menominee area will now gather together to discuss these things. If you're listening and you're curious on how to be a part of these discussions, just reach out to Believer City Church and they'll get you all the information that you would need to be a part of this. Father, what is needed in order for us to live for you seems like a tall order. To live as a soldier, to live as a farmer, to live as an athlete is a lot of work. It's going to be far beyond what we can do, and yet that doesn't need to cause us to run away because you say that you provide what we need. Thank you that you're with us every step of the way. Thank you that you guide us. Thank you that you're here for us. Thank you that you don't leave us on our own. Thank you that you give us what is needed in order to live a life for you. Please help these truths of Scripture be a reality in our lives. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a good night, and God bless.